Hello and welcome to another episode of the Jump Music Initiative podcast. Today we have with us a special guest, Jocelyn Alice. Hello and welcome.
Hi, and my, thanks for having me.
And my co-host, Lisa Jacobs. I'll pass it off to you now, Lisa.
Yay. Jocelyn, we're so happy to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us. Jocelyn Alice has been in the music industry for a long time, since she was a teenager. I don't know if you're going to hate that I say this, but she was on Canada's Pop Stars when she was 16, which was a huge deal. She was in the paper. It was all very, like, incredible. And then she's been in the industry working, hustling. We had a little band called Jocelyn and Lisa for a while. And then in 2015, Jocelyn went solo and had a platinum hit in Canada with the song Jackpot. And since then has had a couple more gold hits and has done some amazing collaborations with some killer artists, including Ria May, Brooklyn, Walk Off the Earth. They did a really awesome cover of Havana with Marshall, actually a bunch of other, some really cool like dance artists. That's not what it's called, electronic music. Oh my God, I sound so old. Yes, and is an incredible songwriter, singer, all of it. So we're so happy to have you here. That's a tiny little bio, but can you maybe fill us in with sort of your role in the industry and where you're at right now, and fill in any missing gaps if there are some that you wanted to fill in?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I love so much about this industry is that I feel like my role is always evolving and changing into different things, and I'm letting go of things and adding other things on. And it's been honestly a dream. I'm lucky to be on the radio, and then I do a lot of work in EDM, which I just really enjoy, because the marriage of me writing ballads, which is essentially what Lisa and I did together too, it's just such a perfect marriage for that kind of music. Now I'm starting to write for other artists, which has been a total secret dream of mine and is just so exhilarating. And now I'm starting to evolve my own music, starting to do a little bit of choreography and learning to dance a little bit and working on vocal production and, you know, just trying to keep interested in this and not get to a place where I'm complacent. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay. The evolution. I love this. So what kind of, with some of the decisions behind choosing dance? And also, can you tell us a little bit about what vocal production is? Because I don't think a lot of people know about that.
Definitely. Dance really chose me. The more that I started to get into the industry and started to release my own solo music, people were just kind of reaching out. And I was like, wow, you know, I'd always wanted to work in all genres. That's something that's super, super important to me. But I never imagined how well that marriage would work until it happened. And my first song that came out in that style was Feels Right. And that's still, by a landslide, my biggest song on Spotify. So I think just from that, people start kind of hearing your voice. And the more that you're on stuff, the more people can kind of picture you on more of that genre. You know, it's kind of hard to get your foot in, but once you're in, people can imagine it, I think. Mm-hmm. And the vocal production is really cool. I mean, Lisa, you know, I am not good at technology. I really struggle with tech. Like, it's not an interest of mine at all, but coronavirus hit. And I was like, oh my God, like, I'm not going to be able to work unless I figure this out. So luckily I have a friend in the city, Mitch Lee, and he has helped kind of walk me through kind of the simple, you know, processes that you first need in order to do that. And, you know, if I'm being honest, really the luckiest part of all is that I was in that band with Lisa, and that we played as many shows as we did, and just, you know, really like got to work on our chops, because now I'm a different singer than I was before I met Lisa and before the things that we did, you know? So it makes it a lot easier when I go into record, because I'm not having to do a whole lot to make it sound okay. And I'm so grateful for that. But vocal production, I don't know. I use Logic, and I basically just, I mean, it's really, this is like all that I have gear wise and a little interface. And I throw the track in there, and then I sing and I do my own harmonies and my ad libs. And then I send it to the producer and they kind of pull it all together. That's my next step too, is to learn to mix and to bring tracks to a better place, but that's my next dream.
Amazing. So I wanted to ask you a little bit. I know you do a lot of co-writing, a lot of work in songwriting. I want to ask you first, for all the young artists out there, just generally, what is publishing? What is this scary word that a lot of people maybe don't know that much about? And I have a kind of a follow-up question to that, but I'll start there.
Yeah, basically, I mean, the best way I've heard it to be described, because I'm still learning too, honey. Okay, this is so confusing. Like, it's like, it never really makes sense to me, honestly. Publishing is when your song is published in something. So let's say it's a TV commercial, it's a film, it's something like that. And they basically, you know, a lot of the times pay you a fee to use your music. And it can work in different ways too. My first, one of my first big opportunities in the publishing world was actually a song where I didn't own any of the publishing, but it ended up getting synced, and the people that did own the publishing got a lot of money, and then I got money to basically perform their song. So there's, I mean, there's so many different ways that it works. It's hard to explain.
No, amazing. I also wanted to ask you, when you're going into a co-writing session or anything like that, how do agreements work? And is it important to have a legally binding agreement when releasing a song that was made by multiple people?
It's a great question. Sometimes it can be so simple, and sometimes it's complex, and it really, you know, it entirely depends. I mean, Lisa and I have had a song where we started the song together in the room with another producer. And then we ended up taking the bridge of that song and putting it on a different song as the bridge. And so when we went back to Lisa, I think that he probably negotiated a term that was less than what you normally would have gotten had we all made that song together in the room. Now there's something called like Nashville cuts. And generally when you're in Nashville, which I really love personally, but you know, country, it works a little bit different than pop. A lot of the times pop is touched by a lot of people, and all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, we have like four versions of this song and I don't know who owns what. Whereas Nashville is very much, if you're in the room, you all get an equal cut. And I would say 95% of the time when I work with music, that's how I roll, just because a lot of the times that's the simplest way and it's just easier. But yeah, looking back, I've definitely had some like squirrely situations where I was shocked. And a lot of the time it's people that I think are my friends, if I'm being honest, where I'm like, yo, like, you know, they won't pay me, or they won't offer me, you know, ownership of something that I made, or they don't value things in the way that I believe my voice should be valued. And it, yeah, it's complicated, but I also feel like when you start to get in these situations that are a little bit more complicated, I think it's a sign that you're actually in the industry as well, because it is a part of the industry, you know, and I think it's hard. It's not easy. You know, I remember the first time that I let a drummer go in my band. And I remember someone said to me, it's going to be an uncomfortable situation, but you're going to be in a hell of a lot more of these as you go along in this industry. So it's good practice, you know, and so that's kind of how I look at it now. And I think I've also learned that I've fought in the past for things that I look back and I'm like, that was not worth the amount of energy that I put in to fight for a few percent. And there are times when I look back and I'm like, I'm so fucking proud that I fought for that extra couple percent, because I deserved that and I probably deserved more. But everyone has their own perspective of that, right? So it's, yeah, it really depends on the situation, you know?
Thank you.
Do you feel like you stand up more for yourself now than you ever did before, or it's always kind of been an ebb and flow of that in these sorts of professional situations? Or what's been your growth process in that?
That's a good question. I think I've had to less and less over the years, because I work with a smaller group of people. Mm. And I really, you know, I look for that quality in people that are just like, yo, let's just get it out. Like, let's just figure it out. Whatever, like, whatever you want to do, let's figure it out. And I feel like I have very much the same attitude now as well, especially because a lot of the people that I work with, you know, like Rhea May, like her and I have worked on collaborations together. I might help her write a little bit in her music. She's helped me with so much business stuff. If it ever comes to anything in terms of cuts, like, I'm not worried, because I know that we have a lifetime ahead of us of work to be made together. So it's just not worth it. And it's like, I trust her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just think it's important to work with people that, you know, you really know are going to have your back.
That kind of leads into another question I was wanting to ask you. Do you think that as it stands now, do you think that women face an unfair disadvantage in the industry? And is this something that you've seen sort of change from when you got started to now, or kind of how, from your perspective?
Honey, 100%. And no, it has not changed at all. It is so much harder to be, I mean, just the things that are expected of you, I've had a really hard time with in my life, like from a young age, nudity, and, you know, having to work in a genre that I didn't want to work in based on the way that I looked. And, you know, being in a room, I mean, for 3-4 years, essentially my job was to meet a strange man in a room and go to his house and enter his home and be vulnerable with him. And I'm also like deathly afraid of dogs. So that adds a whole other layer of fear when I'm going into someone's home. You know, it's like, there's a lot of, I think, fear, and especially I think overprotection sometimes that I have with myself, where I'm like so guarded and kind of paranoid based on my actual reality of life that I've lived in this industry, that there are times when I'm like, yo, like I come on a little strong because I'm so used to, you know, there being a lot of shitty men in this industry that run things. I will say, I do think the model of the music industry is always evolving and always changing. It's one of the hardest parts of the industry, but it's a part that I really love too, because I think more and more over time, artists have had more ownership of their music. And I think that audiences want artists that have ownership of their vision. You know, I've always believed like an artist isn't about talent, it's about having a vision. And it's about knowing the work that you need to put in and the people that you need to collaborate with to bring that to life and to become, you know, whatever talent you need within yourself. But yeah, it's hard. Like, and I say that to young women that ask me all the time, industry questions online and whatever, like be prepared for that, you know, make sure that you have a support system. And also I will not work with a girl that's like a certain age. Like I don't work with now girls under 18, I've decided, because I waited a long time. I was 30 years old when I released my first solo single. And really the only reason I did is because Lisa basically forced me to, you know, like I didn't really even want to do that. You know what I mean? Like, and I know that I was destined to do all of the things that I'm doing now, but I always knew like, I'm not ready. Like I know what it takes and I know the types of things that are constantly thrown at you just from the tiny bit of the industry that I've been in at 16 years old. And it's just, it's hard. So just, you know, take your time and make sure that you have support and make sure that you have people you trust. And if something's off, it's off, you know?
That's good advice. If something's off, it's off. How many times do we not listen to ourselves?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Especially okay. As women, the people pleasing, it's like, let that go and protect yourself, you know?
Yeah. And hopefully, Maddie, your generation feels differently about some of these things than we do. Like maybe you don't want to please everybody like we grew up doing.
Seriously.
Right. So Joss, like you said, you have been hustling for such a long time and then you found sort of like commercial success in the industry. I'm really curious, like how was the feeling of like your first solo single going platinum, and what were kinds of some of maybe the surprising things that came along with success that you weren't expecting?
Oh my God, I'm still processing how big that moment was. You know, the one thing I really truly regret is that I mean, it's so funny too, because Lisa and I had talked so much about this by the end of our band that we were like, oh man, like we really didn't take moments to really look around and be like, wow, like look what we're doing, you know? And I think jackpot, I also want to preface this with like, I was broke as a joke when jackpot came out. And we all know that royalties take like a year to come to you. So like, I'm getting all this attention and everyone's kind of painting me as this new pop star. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to eat tonight. Like I have no team. I have no idea what I'm doing. And it was just honestly a really exhausting time in my life where I look back and I'm like, the few years after is when I really started to realize, you know, what had happened and how my life had utterly changed and how it was really never going to go back to what it was before, which was really cool. But it took a really long time to, and also that was like right before streaming had really taken off. So we actually sold, you know, I think 90,000 copies of that song, and it's, you know, it was on the charts for, I think, 6 months. And that's not like, you don't have, that's not a normal thing that you can even really shoot for in this industry, because I do think it's very, it's just meant to be or it's not. And it's one of those moments where it's just like, you couldn't have planned this. Like, I didn't market it. I didn't have a marketing team. You know what I mean? It's like, just things just happen thanks to that song. So it's, yeah, it's still a really big, it's something I think about a lot of, just like, I want to be more present when things are happening and realize the true magnitude of these moments.
I like that. It was interesting what you said kind of about just the business side of things. Lots of young artists go into it and they really want to do all the creative things that go into it. And maybe they even have no idea how much really there is to be done on the business side of things. But what would you say to that? How do you go about learning about the business side of things, knowing all the things that need to be done and knowing what maybe you can do for yourself and what you need to outsource to other people?
It's so overwhelming. I'm still learning that. I think a big strength of mine over the years has been knowing my weaknesses, you know, and I work on them and I do try to evolve. I'm a big grower as a person, but I also am really bad at details. You know, it's like a real struggle for me and the way that I think to remember things. So I've always known, like, I do need real support in terms of pulling everything together. I'm also like an idea person. I have lots of big ideas and like, I feel like I kind of know who I need to bring them to life, but I don't know how to like actually finish them. And that's just how I work. And it's been, I think, really healing to just be like, you know what, these are my weaknesses. That being said, you know, right now, like, I don't have a manager. Right now I'm actually building a new model where I'm working with a marketing person and someone that works in grants and basically is, you know, chasing after money for us. And we're going to go without a manager, and it's two women, and it's just been so cool. We're trying to start our own label under another label so they can distribute us. And it's just kind of a model that's, you know, new. Other people are doing it, but I do believe that it's the future because it allows artists to own, you know, their own masters, which I think is so, so, so important. But I'm, you know, every day I wake up and I still, after everything that I've done in this industry, I still feel like I have no idea what I'm doing all the time.
Amazing. I love that. I love the honesty there. It's amazing because oftentimes it's so hard to get answers and to kind of know what you need to do to get where you're going. But yeah, I also
want to. There is no way. There's no way. There's no book where you're like, this mm-hmm. is how you do it. Like, everyone's doing it different. I mean, the way that like deals are carved over the years, I've just learned through doing it and being like, oh, I didn't know you could ask for that. Like, I didn't know that when I collab with a DJ and I have a good amount of streams on Spotify, that I should be paid up front for that. I have no idea. You know, but then you get to a level and you're like, oh my God, there's a feature fee. I'm getting paid just to sing it, even though I wrote the song. Like, that's dope. You just don't know. You learn as you go.
Learn as you go. Absolutely. Okay. I think that you are a fabulous songwriter, and I know that you love songwriting. And this podcast is really targeted at young and emerging artists. So can you give us kind of like, maybe impart with us some songwriting wisdom, things that you've learned, things that you excel at, things that maybe, yeah, just some of your experience and wisdom as a songwriter.
Well, I always tell people, first and foremost, collaborate. Mm-hmm. Understand your genre and how it works. In the pop industry, hits are not written alone. It literally doesn't happen. So if that's the industry you want to be in and you want to be popular and you want to be, which I think popular, I hate that word, but like connecting to a large amount of people, I think, you know, be aware of how it works. I would also say, if you're uncomfortable, leave. I have done that before where I have felt like I can't create in this space. I'm leaving. You are always, always, always welcome to do that, especially as a young woman. Be careful. And I would also say, just find people that get you. Find people that support you and maybe are also able to see things in you you're not able to even see. And just, again, I think support and excitement are so important in a session when you're with someone and they're just like, wow, I'm so honored to be in this room with you. That's where great music is made from, you know? And honestly, at the end of the day, like, just have fun. I forget about it a lot. I'm like such a perfectionist, you know? It's like, don't forget to enjoy yourself. And I really don't think that you can enjoy yourself working with people that don't get you, you know?
Absolutely. How do those collaborations come about? How do you go about, maybe there's someone that you're really interested in working with, but what does that process look like?
I will call or email or DM anyone. Like, I'm such a big fan of that. I also think that a big part of business is understanding where you're at and leveraging yourself. And that was another shocking part of Jackpot, was like, oh my God. Like, I remember when Lisa and I worked with Ryan from Mother Mother, and he like knew my song already. And I was like, oh my God, like, I feel like a bunch of artists in Canada that I respect actually know who I am right now. Like, that's crazy. And that was a big click in my brain where I was like, okay, I'm going to start to go after people. And I'm going to make sure that, like, I use this opportunity. And by the way, I don't have the same opportunity now. My shit's not hot the way it was a Jackpot, right? So you have to kind of know those moments and how to use them. But also, I just think most of my collabs have just come from me really working on my voice and honing my instrument for so many years, like endlessly. And people hear my voice and they're like, I want that. And I'm like, yeah, you want that. It's gold. I've worked so hard for this, you know? And it's cool to be at a point where I'm like, yeah, you should pay for that, because I've worked like this is worthy of that. And I also think it's good in the beginning to just know where you're at and just know that, you know, developing those kinds of skills, it's possible. And it's always possible, but it takes time and it takes hard work and it takes absolute consistency. Your voice is the muscle. Writing is a muscle. The more you do it, the better you're going to get, the easier that you're going to be able to solve those problems where you're like, why isn't this connecting the way that it should? After a while, it just becomes a lot more efficient. But yeah, I would say collabs are generally, it's hard. It's tough because partly I'd say reach out and partly it's your own music is going to find the right people.
Okay. So you're not a trained vocalist. You didn't take a whole bunch of lessons, but you've really been, you say, honing your voice. What does that process look like for you when you look back over all these years? What has that entailed?
Well, initially it starts in elementary school with a music teacher, you know, that ignites this fire in me. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, maybe I can sing. Maybe I am good. Okay at this. So from a really young age, I mean, and I don't know that this was healthy looking back, but you know, I had a parent that was very adamant about the amount of hours that I put in as a child. And I'm, you know, on some level, I don't feel I had a proper childhood in some ways, but on other levels, I feel like I'm so grateful because I still stick to that regime. I will still, you know, once I get into modes where I'm singing live or I'm trying to record a song I really care about, you know, I will do absolutely everything I can do to maintain a healthy voice. And that really comes down to so many aspects. I mean, eating, you know, I'm vegan, pretty much fully vegan. That's a big part of my voice. I think dairy is the worst thing that you can do as a singer. Exercising, meditating, journaling, oil scrubbing for my skin, just weird things that you wouldn't think of, but the more you get your kind of circulation going, you know, things like that. And then I would say I kind of hit a wall probably right before Jackpot hit. And I was like, you know, I want to be better. Like, I want to do this. And I've always done this alone. And I've always just kind of practiced and just figured it out. But I'm kind of ready to bring in a professional that can grow me in ways that, like, the knowledge that I don't have. And that's when I met Tamara Beattie. And she's like an absolute game changer. And I had no idea how much it would translate to my recording, to my writing. You know, the sounds that she uses, her understanding of the way sounds work. Like, for instance, it's really hard to sing a really high full note on an E, but it's a lot easier to sing it on an O because they're open. Like, it's little tricks like that where you're like, wow, like, it's just so, and also the notes, you know, I didn't grow up knowing anything about music at all. Like, I still don't know a lot technically about music. So the scales for me at first, I couldn't even sing them. I was like, I don't know these notes. I don't know how to do this. And it was really embarrassing for me and really hard for me to do that with her at first. And now there's all these other notes I'm finding in my songwriting where I'm like, wow, I don't even know that I knew that note existed, but it's like everything to the song, you know? So yeah, it's definitely, again, been an evolution, and I'm excited to keep growing as a singer. It's a lot of fun for me.
Awesome. So over the course of the last year, it's been really different as an artist and as a human being. So is there anything that you've learned about yourself during this time, specifically as an artist or just as a person?
I've definitely learned I can vocal produce. You know, I've learned I can do something that I really, really was sure I couldn't do. I've learned to not do anything for a while, which is really, really challenging for me. And to, you know, put my self-esteem in different places, which I actually think is incredibly important. Especially when you do start to have some success, you'll quickly learn that it doesn't make you feel any differently about yourself. And in some ways it actually makes you feel worse because you feel like an absolute imposter all the time. And that's something you have to reconcile. And I've had to continue to reconcile. And it's, you know, last year I probably wrote maybe 2-3 songs. And I write like 350 songs a year generally. Like I write a lot. So it's interesting looking back that one of the songs that I wrote is probably the best song I've ever written. And it's going to be my lead single for my next project. And I wrote it completely alone to a beat and I did all the vocals. And it was a completely transformative moment for me where I was like, wow, like I'm a different creator now. And I can do different things now in terms of like helping other artists. And I just feel so ready for that. And I don't think that I could have gotten there without like the struggle of last year and really having everything taken away. I mean, I moved countries. I went through a breakup. I mean, I've gone through some really heavy stuff this year. And I'm really grateful for that because, you know, healing is really hard, but it's really worth it. And I feel a lot lighter. And I just hope that, you know, as hard as it is to just like sit in your one bedroom apartment and like want to like shoot someone because you're so over it. And I know we're all feeling that. I would also never in a million years give this year away because I feel like I've just learned so much about social justice and, you know, just like, I can't even begin to tell you, I feel like an entirely different person. So it's been hard, but it's been good.
I also, you mentioned imposter syndrome. So many people say that they've experienced that and that that's something that happens when you find yourself into success. And what would your perspective be on that? How does someone go about dealing with that?
I don't know that you do, you know, like there's a part of me that's like over humble and I think I'll always be that way. And there's a part of me that's glad I'm that way. Like things will not be going to my head. And I can guarantee that because I feel pathetic most of the time. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm working on that, but at the same time, like that is definitely a big part of my personality. I think I'm quite self-deprecating and I don't want the platform. Like I want the platform to be able to do something with it. I don't want to be on a pedestal. I don't like that energy when people start to look at me like I'm not a human. Like that's not what I'm looking for. And that's a part of the game. I think it's actually really been good for me to walk in my confidence as well, you know, to learn, like, for instance, when someone used to compliment me on my voice, which, you know, I've been blessed to have a lot of those in my life. I used to be like, oh, thank you. Oh my God. No, thank you. Thank you so much. And the reality is that my genuine reaction wants to be like, thanks. I know. I work really, really hard. And I've worked really, really hard for like over 20 years. I'm exhausted and I know that I'm good. And I've earned that, you know? So it's kind of, and I think that's just getting older too. Like I'm 35. So there's a part of me that's like, yeah, yeah, that is me. That is how I work. And I know I'm a good person. And I know that I'm going to probably have self-esteem issues forever too. And it's all just kind of a part of it. But it's interesting to me that like the artists that I've worked with that I've really connected with, they all have the same thing. Mm-hmm. They all do. I mean, Lisa, you're one of the worst for that. I mean, she's like the most talented woman alive. And, you know, we're just, I felt like that was a big dynamic of ours of just really building each other up. And it's sad that we'd have to do that because we know we're talented, but it's sometimes hard to walk it out, you know?
Absolutely. And too, I think when we're stepping into things that are bigger than they were yesterday, you feel a little bit like you don't belong. And I have to say, every celebrity podcast that I've listened to, they all feel the exact same way.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter what stage of your life you're in. People are just like, am I doing a good job? Do I belong here? It's wild.
Everyone that I also really admire seems to have an intimate relationship with fear. And I think that's another part of it, is like when you're walking in that fear, you're generally learning, you're growing, you're evolving, you're challenging yourself. And that's something to be really proud of. But it is hard to maintain confidence in that. And I think that's something to just like, I'm so proud of the amount of fear that I've faced. And sometimes I don't do good, you know, but like I did it and I tried it. And like, that's what it's really about, you know?
Absolutely. Whoa.
I'm writing that down.
I knew you were going to like that one. With
fear? Come on.
I knew you were going to like that one. Yeah.
Going to be it's pondering a part of it, that. Matt. Dang.
Thank you for sharing.
I'm writing it down right now.
I heard that. I mean, that's not me. Someone else said that on a podcast or something. And I was just like, wow, that's it. That is it.
Jocelyn, I wanted to ask, we have a segment on the show that we do near the end, and it's called Desert Island Albums. So if you were trapped on a desert island, what three musical works or albums or what be it would you bring with you? Essential listening.
TLC. What's that album called? Oh my God, I was just listening to it. You know the one, Lise. The one we all grew up on.
TLC. Oh, Crazy, Sexy, Cool. That one? Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy, Sexy, Cool. Bon Iver. Mm-hmm. That's the album I've listened to the most in my whole life, for sure. And I don't know what it's called. I'm the worst. And probably Chris Stapleton. Because I grew up a country singer, and that's like another dream of mine. A lot of my songs are actually country songs masked as pop songs. And I can't wait to do more of that. So yeah, he's like such a voice.
Absolutely. I heard you do a cover of Either Way a while back, and it was really powerful. I like that.
That song. And do you know the story of that song?
No.
It's the coolest story. So Leanne Womack recorded that song on her album 10 years ago. And it was like upbeat, like they did the absolute worst thing you can do to a song like that, which is just like overproduce it. It was too fast. It was too busy, like just completely disrespected the song. So like 10 years later, Chris takes it back. And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to do it how I do it live. And he won a Grammy.
Wow. It's so powerful. Simple. Amazing.
And how cool that like songs are never dead, you know? Songs, that's my favorite part about songs. They just sometimes take on lives that you're like, wow, okay, 2.0. Cool.
You've shared a lot of little tidbits of wisdom and advice, and it's been amazing. But is there one or two things that you want to leave off with the next generation of young musicians? What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, again, take your time. Please be safe. Please don't do anything you don't want to do. Again, trust your gut and just find your people. Find the people that, you know, and again, if you look at like, I think Ariana Grande is a perfect example. She's working with Max Martin for 5, 6, 7 years, right? Like the biggest songwriter and producer ever to live. And it takes her going back to her group of friends that she's known for years and years and years, and they've always jammed together. And that's who did Thank You Next, Seven Rings, like all of her new stuff. So I think it's a really good lesson, you know? And I think you can feel that in the music, that she's having a good time. I think it's so important. Just don't forget to have fun. Why else would you do it? There's so much extra stuff you have to deal with. Trust me, enjoy yourself when you can.
Thank you so much. I love it.
Joss, thank you. This was fabulous.
So you guys are so great. You're such great hosts. I loved it.
Thanks so much for doing it. It's a pleasure.
No, it's my honor. It's nice to talk about these things, because like it kind of reminds you like how much you've been through and how much you've learned. And yeah, It's good.
Thank Grateful you. For you. Bye.
Too, girl. Hey, good luck with everything, guys.